Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. Once again, it is the 9:30 hour on the East Coast. We are talking with Tribal Wisdom by Bridal Tribe. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson. And first I want to say happy birthday to one of our Facebook friends and former interviewees, Mr. Gregory Malcolm. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday to you. I just left the celebration out at in Brooklyn, and I made it home just in the nick of time to get to the show. I also want to say a very happy congratulations to Mary Mason Peacock. She was married over the weekend, and I told her that I would definitely give her a shout-out today. I'm so very happy for her. She will be on the show in the future, I'm certain, to let us know a little bit more about her journey. But let me tell you about today. Today we have a wonderful guest that we are interviewing, Miss Ike Brown. She wrote a book, which we happen to be giving away today. So if you are listening in and you want to take advantage of actually winning a copy of this book, please do give us a call. You know the number. It is 347-996-3160. If you're listening by internet and computer, we'd love to have you call in. If you would like to have a question or a comment, just make sure you press the number 1 to let us know. I'm not going to even prolong this anymore. We're going to bring her right in. And hi, Ike.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very excited to have you on the show, actually. And I slid into my home, like home base, just in the nick of time to get to the computer and do this.
So well,
if I'm a little flustered, please excuse me. Please do tell our listeners about yourself. Tell us who you are, where you're located, and a little bit about what you do.
Okay, cool. I am Ike Brown, as you introduced me. I am an author, a relationship and sex coach for committed couples. I'm located in Houston, Texas, originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, thus the name of the book. So you'll understand that a little bit later when we talk about the book, my debut book.
I can't wait.
So here in Houston, I run two companies. Mm-hmm. We run A Loved Lifestyle, and A-Loved is an acronym for Actively Living Our Vows Everyday Lifestyle. So it is
like
a support online system for committed couples and especially marriages. And we run Joygasms. And Joygasms is the sexier side of the marriages, making sure that we keep marriages happy and together one bedroom at a time.
Love it. I love it. So I definitely want to hear about each of the companies, and I want to hear about the book. So why don't we start with A Loved Lifestyle? I would love to hear more about your marriage workshops for committed couples and committed marriages.
Cool. Well, the first thing we like to do is the premarital workshops. We'd love for people to come in when they're engaged. Here we have partnered with a event specialist, wedding planner in the area, that's Event Lux & Company, and we do our premarital workshops in her venue. Once you do the 8-hour premarital workshop with us, the state of Texas has actually approved the curriculum that we wrote for a recognized providership. So that means the state of Texas has recognized us as a provider, as a reputable provider of premarital workshops, and they will give each participant, each couple that comes through our classes, they'll give them part of their marriage license fee. Basically, because the state of Texas wants to support people to stay in their marriages, and the statistics show that if you do premarital workshops of some sort, whether it's secular or religious-based, then your marriage is highly likely to, you know, stay together, and it's a better probability. So the state of Texas really does support that.
That's awesome. I definitely want to post that up later on, that Not only will they give you part of your feedback, but to be certified by the state.
Yes.
That has
yes,
to be
that was
big.
A huge accomplishment for us. With a few interns and some researchers helped me out, but I pretty much wrote the curriculum and submitted it. So we just got approval like a month or two ago, and so we're going to start our big celebration in the next week or so. So people want to make sure that they like our fan page because especially if you're in the Houston, Texas area or anywhere in Texas because you can get the curriculum here and you can get your marriage fee covered. But our hope is that once we go fully online, that we'll be able to do that in other cities because there are other states that do support the marriages like that.
Oh, that'll be interesting. I'm going to have to try to find that out and post that up for our listeners and for our Facebook fans and for our Twitter fans as well. That really is awesome. I'm in awe of just that part. I'm like, how come I didn't know this? I didn't know that states did that. That's great.
Yeah,
okay.
There's about a few years back, the states decided that they really wanted to support families. And one of the ways that they did that, and they really kind of started it off through kind of lower income, some of the subsidies and things like that, but then they realized that everyone needed it. And so there's about five or so that I know of that still do it. I believe Tennessee's one, I think maybe Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana was, but I'm not quite sure if they refunded. So I don't want to speak out of turn.
Okay. No, that's okay. Enough about the state. Let's find out about these workshops, especially the ones that are premarital. How does one go about registering for the class, and talk to us about the topics?
Okay, great. So if you go to our website, alovelifestyle.com, you'll see there that it has services listed, and one of the services should say, if I can find them, it should say loving, I love you. And if you go there, it should bring you to all the different things that we're going to offer. But one of the ones right now, if you go to lovelifestyle.com/premarital workshop, you'll see it there and you can register right online from there. Now, some of the topics that we talk about, because it is an 8-hour course, we literally cover the gambit. We go from finances to sexuality to religious and blended families. I mean, when I tell you everything, we run the gambit. The way the curriculum is set up, though, is that every hour builds upon itself. So, you know, sometimes people want to say, well, can I come in for the second half and then, you know, do the first half after after the second half, because we do it in 2 weeks. So you take a 4-hour course on one Wednesday and another 4-hour course on the next Wednesday. And you wouldn't be able to do course two without doing course one. That's the way it's set up. And so the things that we go through, like at the first half, is all about learning self, looking into the man himself and the woman herself without them being paired together, really feeling, having them understand what the two of them are doing separately before they become this union. So we do activities, like one of them is a mirror activity. So we start having them look at themselves in a very raw way and asking them questions so they can really pull out some of the topics that maybe they haven't even talked about as a couple. Discuss those. That's our main purpose in that first hour, is really to have a sense of self and to bring that forward to each other while we're there.
I was going to say, let me ask you, what topics would you say were a surprise to a few of the couples? What were some of the subjects that they were not thinking of and questions they didn't think to ask?
Okay, well, one of the ones that really comes up as a big shocker to couples when you ask them is how their life experiences, their past life experiences in detail, is going to affect their future life experiences, especially together, and how they're going to merge that. One big one is rearing of kids. Even if they decide, a lot of people decide, oh yeah, we're gonna have kids, we're sure about that, but they never kind of talk about the rearing. Are we doing the chest ties? Are we doing timeouts? Are we doing spanking? or are we not doing any of that, and we're kind of living this very free, let the child roam and grow and, you know, be a green child kind of thing. So that's a big, you know, a big bone of contention for some couples when you talk about that. Or when you talk about kind of end-of-life planning,
mm-hmm.
that's something a lot of couples, because the beginning of this is, I mean, they're literally blossoming as a couple together. So they're not thinking about, well, what happens if their family members get sick and who's going to care for them? Is mom going to live with us? Is somebody, or are we on retirement plans? Are we thinking about our own end-of-life preparations? Have you really set down to think about those things? And those are harsh realities that all of us have to go through, but we really should. That's part of the merging the finances, is to understand all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And to know who's going to, you know, who's going to care for, who's going to pay for those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big one. So, you know, that looking forward and into the future of how life experiences have happened before and how they're going to look when they're together. Because, you know, some people say, well, I'm never going to take care of mom or dad. They're going to go in a nursing home. That's just how we've always done. We have homes that know our family, and that's where we go. And then the other side of the family is like, well, no, that's not what we do. We take care of our elders. And, you know, so talking about that is very important.
Agreed, definitely. I think that even our last week's guest said something very similar about no one really wants to talk about the life insurance or what would happen if something happens to us and how we're going to take care of things. But it is such an essential conversation to have.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is.
Tell us about, so we talked, you said there's finances, there's the rearing of children. I guess you said those are the surprise topics, but what are the other basic topics that you cover in your class?
Well, another one is just characters and how we embody so many characteristics as far as personalities and things like that, but then really knowing our main personality. And this is something very fun. This is one of the homework things that I send them home with. So all of your listeners tonight can do this actually while we're on a call to look at this. This is called the Enneagram. And the Enneagram allows you to take a test and see what your predominant personality is, and then you can see your partner's predominant personality and see who you're marrying. And you can almost, it's really fun because you can see the different things that they do and kind of why they do them. And it's at EnneagramInstitute.com, I believe, EnneagramInstitute.com.
You know what, spell that again. I'm going to look it up right now and post it. E-N-N.
Sure. It's EnneagramInstitute. So institute.com.
Gotcha.
EnneagramInstitute.com. And, you know, I just love that site. It's full of information about characteristics. It's full of information about personalities. It's really good also for professionals that just want to know a little bit more about themselves and how they may relate to their clients. Maybe even looking at their own clients and kind of answering for a potential client that they may have and kind of answering the way that they thought that person would answer so they can figure out how to relate to them better. It's just a very good tool. All this information that's on there, that's one of my go-to sites for personality testing. I really love them. And they have a lot of online training. There's other tests and quizzes and stuff that you can take. There's a free quiz. That's the one I suggest everybody start with. Then if you really want to, what I call is you know, just be a little bit nerdy, if you want to go in, there's some that you can pay for, too.
I love it. You're speaking to a nerd,
I'm like,
but I always like that word. Exactly.
I'm such a nerd about things, so I know. So once I get to something, I'm like, oh, no, I want to see something else, and I want to do this. So it's really fun. It's really fun to see what they come up with. And it was cool when I took it the first time because my first one was the helper. And I was like, well, wow, go figure. I'm a coach. You know, I want to help people. And, you know, and talked all about, you know, how I'm very generous and positive and want people to be happy and to care for them and things like that. So it's very cool. It's very cool to do.
Wow. So a helper is one of the predominant personalities that you may end up dealing with?
Yes, it could be. And, you know, the thing is that there's obviously, I think there's about 12 or 15 or so of them. But anyway, you have more than one personality, but mm-hmm. there's the predominant one, and then you can see kind of where you fit in here and there with the other ones. And so it's always fun to me to, when I even first, I do a free session for my clients. So when they come in for personal coaching and consulting, I do a complimentary 30-minute session. And pretty much in my head during that session, I am trying to hear cues and figure out what type of personalities I'm dealing with. Because that way it'll better help me understand them as well as how they relate to each other. So let's take, for instance, we have someone that is extremely possessive, but kind of in a good way. They're very dominating. They're the breadwinner of the family. They kind of want to make all the rules in the house, but they do want to do it within the best interest of the family. Mm-hmm. And then you have the other person that is very people-pleasing, goes with the flow, doesn't like too much of conflict, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of see those personalities, and you know, okay, you probably have a challenger and you may have a helper or a loyalist. You know, and so you start looking at the different things, and then you take their problem or situation that seems to be the issue that they're coming to you for, and you put them in the context of the way that they're already thinking, but they don't know that yet, you know. Mm. So that's where you kind of really get to the coaching piece of it, and for them to see past what they think they see into the reality. And that's kind of kind of going back to the reason why we do the show part first.
That is awesome. I might have to just take this test and see where I land. That's going to be real interesting. Now,
it is.
Where can I get a list of the different personality types?
You can. It's on there with their. I think there's a list somewhere on their site. I haven't been there for a while.
Okay. No.
But there's a list on the site. Or once you get to the end, once you take the free quiz, It pops up with all of them. It gives you yours, and then it pops up all of them, and you can just kind of copy and paste and make your own list or pull it off and put it in a PDF or something.
I can't wait to post that up for the listeners. I think they're going to love that. And for the listeners, please, if you take the test, please let me know a little bit about what you find out about yourself. If you're surprised by the results, let me know, because I'm definitely going to share my results with you. I'm going to either be surprised or, you know, not.
Well, it was fun for me because a lot of people kind of see me as the challenger. They see me as a very dominating, very confident person, and that's what they say. It's confident. It's decisive. I'm looking at the explanations now. And confrontational. And it was funny, and I'm like, you know, I'm not necessarily confrontational. It's just that I really do see sometimes the layers that we all kind of try to hide, mm-hmm. and I do sometimes kind of step out, especially for friends and family, and I kind of think that I'm supposed to be friends and family.
Yes, I understand. Well, I mean, I expect something like that to happen when you're kind of protective of the people you care about.
Yes, exactly. And so that's what happens, and it's because I care so much about them that I do become that very confident and dominating person. I'm like, no, you need to do this, but, you know. And so it's very interesting to just see how others see you too. If you are true with yourself and you're honest with it, you really can embark on an extremely, you know, intense journey when you do this, even the free one. If you really are true to yourself, you can do it.
I am definitely excited because I kind of already know how my friends see me. I'm sure they think that I'm extremely dominant. But I think that the test is going to say something different. But we'll see. I'll share. I promise, guys, I will share.
Of course, as entrepreneurs, too, we have to kind of be that way. We always have to put ourselves first and in front of people. And so sometimes in this westernized society, we seem as extroverts, even sometimes when we're not, because that's the way it's created us. Our environment has created that part of us, and that's not necessarily our true selves. So
nice. Now, I'm actually looking at the site, and they do have the list of the 9 personality types. I'm going to read them off.
All right.
Number 1 is the reformer. I have no idea what the exact definition of it is, but I have an idea.
If you read them, I can give you the definitions of them because I have those pulled up on my paper.
Oh, okay, that'll be great. And you know what, as an aside, I don't want to get off topic, but Aiki is going to be a contributor to Bridal Tribe magazine, so I'm sure that she will be talking about these subjects, and I'm already excited now because I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to have to take this test. I love it.
Yes, I will be. You know, I talk a little bit about them on my blog and in the book. So, yes, it's definitely something that I use and practice regularly.
Nice. Let's talk about the reformer.
The reformer is idealistic, extremely idealistic, purposeful, almost perfectionistic in their way of going about things. So you're more than likely, most people say that they're quote unquote anal. That's the reformer person.
Oh boy, I'm getting scared. Okay, the helper.
The helper is caring, as I said earlier, very interpersonal, very interactive, demonstrative, so kind of ostentatious sometimes, but generous, people pleasing, and doing things that they can kind of possess other people's, you know, feelings and want to make sure that they're doing okay. Yeah.
Okay, we've got the achiever.
Right, so the achiever is just what it means, success-oriented, can adapt very easily, very driven to excel, so that's your overachiever, trying to do everything, kind of taking it all on almost. That's your achiever.
Oh, gosh, I'm really, you know, I'm confused already. I'm telling myself.
And that's what the quiz does, is it takes all of that out because it's a pretty extensive quiz. So it does filter a lot of the things that we know that we do already and to really get to the core of who you are. Because like I said, once again, a lot of it is environmental. We have to do. Think about the relationships that we have. All right? I mean, kind of it goes back to, you know, why I put this in the marriage preparation seminar. It's because you need to know these things. A lot of things that we do and the people that we present is because of environmental reasons. It's not necessarily our true selves. And what will happen in a marriage is that representative that you dated will go away very quickly once you live together and the years start piling on. You're not married to the representative. You're married to that core. And that's why we try to get to it in class one.
It makes me just want to pass around a collection plate right now and just like hand it over to you for saying that. Because
That's
people,
one of those church moments.
It is because it hits home, I'm certain, for a lot of the callers because even though we hear it all the time, people say you're dating the representative, you know, you're in the honeymoon period with the representative, but you're going to get to the real very soon. To know that you can actually take one of these classes or take the class more than once, hopefully, and be able to make a good assessment of who you're really involved with and make a good decision about moving forward. And I'm going to ask you later whether or not there were some couples who actually changed their mind. We're going to get to that one. But the next one is the individualist.
They're withdrawn. That would be your traditional introvert. Deeply expressive, artistic, kind of dramatic in their artsy appeal, self-absorbed, and can be somewhat temperamental.
That's a good one. And the investigator?
Inside of their own brain, cerebral is what they call it, the cerebral type. Perceptive, and innovative, but secretive. Won't really tell you too much, stays to themselves. That's your investigator. Looks at everything from all angles.
Nice. The loyalist?
Truly committed, engaging, responsible. High anxiety, though, because it's like, well, if I'm doing for you or you're doing for me, I need to watch out. I need to watch my step, my footing, and extremely suspicious. So.
That's a good one. Oh, I can't wait to talk to some of my friends to find out what they are. I'm going to tell them what some of them are. The enthusiast.
Very busy, all over the place, but extremely fun-loving. That's the traveler, very versatile, spontaneous. Easily distracted, though, and kind of scattered brain. So your ADD, ADHD, adult ADD type. that's your enthusiast.
I know a couple of those too. I know a couple of those.
I'm definitely guilty of being an enthusiast.
Really?
Oh, guys, yes. I need like 2 and 3 personal assistants when I'm trying to do something.
Wow.
Because I am extremely spontaneous. My husband grounds me into saying, let's plan this, let's do that, and let's figure this out. Let's see how we're going to make things happen. I can plan certain things. So if you give me kind of budget type things, I can plan that out. But I'm one that I'll jump up and say, hey, let's go take a ride down the coast. Just for no reason. I just feel like jumping in the car. Let's go. And gone. You know?
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm definitely the enthusiast.
So I suppose that an enthusiast doesn't have much of a challenger in them. Let's talk about the challenger.
Yeah, so the challenger is the dominating, very powerful, decisive, willful. And like I said before, what will happen is that sometimes the person that we perceive as the quiet one, the loyalist, and sitting, you know, kind of reserved, that person actually becomes, if they do this test, comes out to be the challenger because they will speak up when they have to. They will, you know, they will dominate a situation if they feel like it's going the wrong way, and they will be happy to confront you if they feel that they're right. So
I'm getting such a kick out of this. You have no idea. Okay. And finally, number 9, the peacemaker.
Very easygoing. They're receptive. They're reassuring. So they're the very good friend, the confidant, agreeable. Very complacent, may not be the person when you're really looking for the truth, may not be the person to go to talk mm-hmm. to, because they'll be the one to kind of wrap their arm around you and say it's going to be okay, yeah, sure, you're making the right decision, even though it may not be.
All right, I'm going to cross that one off my list, because clearly I am not the peacemaker. I'm usually the harsh truth kind of girl, so I guess I'm, you know, I might have a little peacemaker in me, but not too much, I don't think.
Okay.
So now, you know, we've talked about these 9 personality traits. After you have been with a few couples and they take the test and they talk it out and you kind of figure out what the traits for each of them are, has there ever been one that, A, walked away from each other for, you know, because it was the best thing to do, or B, that you've recommended that they might want to rethink their union?
Well, I will say, for one, no. No one's ever walked away. But B, yes, I have suggested people rethink how fast and quickly they're going into the union, not necessarily the union itself. And the reason, because the next thing that we go into is communication. Because now that we've there it all and we've really gotten to the core of who we're marrying, then now we can talk to that core person, to really the person that is going to become Mr. and Mrs. We can talk to them. They can talk to each other. And so we talk more. We get to the communication. We build the skills that they need to really allow the challenger to not be difficult and abrasive when they're challenging, and not let the peacemaker be a wallflower when they're just trying to, you know, get along.
Mm-hmm.
So we really start building on that to create a new and good couple, a great relationship.
I love it. I'm already in my head. I think right now I might be the enthusiast, because I'm like, we got to get her here to New York and have like a nice little, you know, session. That's my inner executive assistant is already at work, so.
Let's get it scheduled. Call my PR and we can get it on the books.
That's
get out there. Put it on the books and says, hey, you need to be, you know, okay, I'll be there.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to try to plan something for 2013, possibly late summer or something like that for 2013, a nice little workshop with a number of individuals. But I absolutely love this information that you're giving. And I'm sure that it's not necessarily new, but it's like hearing it again is wonderful. And
yeah,
it's wonderful that you're applying it to couples who are planning to spend their lives together. It's I find it to to be a very important tool for people who want to, you know, spend their lives together and try to get to know who are you marrying.
Right. And it's not only for our premarital couples, because we do offer sessions and workshops for nearlyweds, newlyweds, and foreverweds is the line that we have. And that's another collaborative with Yvette Lux & Company that we do a loving you. And mm-hmm. so basically it's like Loving University. And it is these workshops for people that have been married 3 to 5 years or, you know, 5 years plus that want to go through this again, figure out who they've become. Because they become different people. We all become different people. Change is going to happen. It's inevitable. One of my favorite things is that change is the only true constant. So you know it will happen. You know you will change. You will become someone different. And you need to know, the harsh reality is if you need to know that you still love this person, that you can still make a choice to be committed to them. Mm-hmm. Because no matter whether or not that person, you know, necessarily gains weight, loses weight, looks different, you know, becomes disabled, whatever, you still love that person and you still want to care for that person. And then you have all of the emotional things that changes about the person, all the mental things that change about the person. And to really tap into that, hardly any of us do that. I always suggest, especially for my personal consulting couples, that they do some type of check-in at least once a year. They mm-hmm. should really go down the list, sit down and talk. Hey, how you doing? How am I doing? Am I doing something wrong? Should I do something better? Have you decided not to like this? Have I decided not to like this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, really should talk about those things on a yearly basis.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes it's hard to take the time to do it, but whether it's on your anniversary, whether it's New Year's, whether it's the baby's birthday, that you just want to say, okay, this is the time, around the time we're going to do it every year, just so we can have, you know, a milestone to know that that's when we're going to do it, so we don't just kind of put it out there and never do it, never get it done. So, you really should. And so that's why we do offer some of the same things. We tweak them, obviously, for the couples that are already together, but we offer some of the same basic principles to them.
I love it because it becomes such a support system throughout the entire relationship, and it's rare that you find something like that available. Although some people, you know, they have marriage workshops in churches or they go and speak to their family, but to be able to have a reliable outside source where you might feel more comfortable revealing and sharing yourself, I think it's awesome that you have this support system available to, as you said, nearly wed, newly wed, and forever wed couples.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
That's exactly it. And you're right. You know, even though we talk to our family and friends sometimes, they're not coaches, they're not professionals. It's kind of difficult to get an unbiased opinion from someone who has either helped raise you or been around you when you were growing up or, mm-hmm. you know, shared memories with you, for them to be unbiased about a relationship that you're in with someone else. Most of the times our friends and families love our partners because they love us.
Right.
And so they start, you know, if our partner, for whatever reason, maybe there's really a problem going on and our partner isn't necessarily showing that love, then the family member does not have the intense connection that we have with our partner. So they don't all the time understand that, okay, I might not like him or her today, but tomorrow I'll be back madly in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
I just need somebody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I just need somebody to vent to. And that's why we're growing the online support. That's why we want the couples to become members. We have a free membership. We want them to comment. We want them to become fans on the Facebook page and on the Twitter, because we want that support. We want to make sure that these marriages stay together and they have other married people that are happy that can support them. you know, and I always stress happy that can support them, because sometimes misery loves company, and people go find the person that's like, oh, my God, the ball and chain, and oh, my God, I'm so glad I got out of that house, and, you know, and all of us are not living like that.
Right,
my husband's pretty happy to come home at night. I'm pretty happy to come home at night. We're, you know, we don't go out and about and try to get away from our from each other. We just don't do that. And so there's a lot of people that just don't do that. They're very excited about being together, and we want to make sure that people know that.
That's just awesome. Now, I'm going to tell you guys again, you can go to alovedlifestyle.com to register, as she said, for free to get, I guess you have the newsletter, you have everything that goes on, yes?
Yes, and as we grow, because the Love Lifestyle is the newest part of the company. It's really just now about 6 months old. So Joygasms was first, but now we're really merging the two together and growing them. So what we're going to do on the community side of that is you'll get your newsletters, you'll get the updates about events and things like that. When I am speaking at seminars and workshops across the country, you'll know where those are. So if you want to take a vacation and come out and see us, then there you go. And you know, you can enjoy building the relationship and investing in yourselves in that way through Love Lifestyle and the community that we share. We'll also put up mini webinars that'll be free if you're on the free membership. Now, as you go up, as you continue to invest, there'll be paid memberships, but that's going to be down the line, and then you'll know when you're ready to go up to that. But there'll be plenty of stuff that's free. You don't even ever have to pay for anything if you don't want to.
Nice.
So that's why we're building the community the way we are.
Nice. Very, very nice. And I will be posting. I've already posted the Facebook page and the website in the event portion of tonight, and I'll also post it on the regular page so you guys can definitely go and visit. Now, if again, I just want to tell everyone who's calling in that if you have a question or a comment, to be certain to press the number 1 so that I know that you have a question or a comment. The number again is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 for a question or a comment. Now, we talked about, I think somebody had a question. Let me just double check.
Okay.
No, okay, they just,
We can also, if they're on Facebook right now, I'm on, so if they go to either one of our fan pages, A Love Lifestyle or Joygasms, they can ask me a question there, and I'll answer there as well.
Excellent, excellent. And just to let you know, I mean, you're welcome to go ahead and type into the event as well. I'm posting up some of the things that we're saying. But you're definitely welcome to post in there and, of course, post your page. I've already posted the page to lead them back over there. So far, everybody is just kind of listening in, and that's great. So you've talked about the newlyweds. Newlyweds, we even kind of covered forever weds. What about the newlyweds? Let's talk about them before we get to your book.
Okay. What do we have for the newlyweds?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we're doing is we're partnering with some of the local vendors. We have someone that does travel. And if you book your travel through them, you can actually give a donation to a charity. I was going to say, like, it's a fundraiser. So for a charity of your choice. And so things like that, we like to partner with people so they can have things to go on. They can understand that it is going to be something that they have to invest in. Their relationship has to continue to grow because they grow, because they're committed to staying together, doing things together, being active together. So, you know, we kind of give them anniversary gifts and give them tips, a lot more tips usually than we give the ones that have been together a little bit longer, just so they can understand that we really do need to be active. You know, love is an action word, and making a vow is a verb. You're saying, I promise to do something, and that's a huge thing for our newlyweds to understand, that you promised. You said, you pinky swore that you were going to do. And this is the biggest pinky swear you can ever make. And make sure to kind of drill in their heads. So we do those different things just so we can do it subconsciously, do those different things with partners in the area, like I said, like the travel agency that we partner with. We have a couple of hotels that we're working with now that they can go to for little, you know, date nights or time alone if they want to get away from the kids if they have any, or even if they just want to do a romantic staycation. So things like that just so they can know, yeah, this is going to be an active thing. You got to invest. You got to stay together.
Nice, nice, very nice. Okay, let's get to Alphabet Gumbo. Which is that a part of Joygasm?
Yeah, well, Alphabet Gumbo is the book title, and it was, you know, obviously through my Joygasm company first, because the Joygasm side is all about sexuality, and so it's Alphabet Gumbo spice up your sex pot. like I said earlier, I'm originally from New Orleans. So I have always eaten gumbo, and if you ask my mom and dad, they'll tell you that I literally have always talked about sex. So I thought the two needed to marry, and I birthed this book over the last few years, and so it came out at the very end of last year, and we debuted it here in Houston in February. And so it's a really fun book. It's mainly for married couples and committed couples that want to do something to spice up their intimacy and their relationship, sexual relationship, but don't quite know how to kind of get things started, how to stay on task about certain things. So we give very detailed suggestions, very easy, relatable to things that you already know and they do. One of them I can think of off the top of my head is being easy. Okay, so a lot of times we'll hear the stereotype that, oh, it's so difficult to get sex and to have sex when you're married. You know, you have the kids and, oh, the woman has a headache and, oh, the guy wants to watch the football game and blah, blah, blah. So we talk about just being easy. Like, this is your okay to be easy, be a floozy with each other. You know, don't make it so difficult to jump in the sack. So we talk about that, and we talk about how you can kind of get around and not fall in those pitfalls. And, I mean, just very fun and realistic, practical things to do to make your sex life enjoyable.
Wow.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I need to, like, start making T-shirts that say, let me be your personal floozy.
Yeah. That's it. Exactly. Like I said, if you go down to New Orleans, be easy in the big easy.
My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Okay, go on. I don't want to stop you. Go ahead.
Well, the other thing is appetite. That kind of goes along with the communication. And that's where we start. Because the book is set up literally from A to Z. So we start at appetite. And we say, well, what is your sexual appetite? Are you a once-a-week person or are you a 4 or 5 times a week person? Mm-hmm. And have you really discussed that? Have you talked about that? Has that changed over the years?
Glad that you are saying that, because I just had that conversation with a few friends a few weeks ago about that being one of the topics that most newlyweds don't discuss, and how important it is to ask those questions, because especially, you know, we have couples who are now really kind of waiting till marriage before they come together sexually. And
right.
And the ones that don't, they think they know because it's the honeymoon period.
Mm-hmm.
But
and it slows down. You know, it slows down naturally because you're with the same person, it becomes a little bit pedestrian at times. And so you do need to say, okay, is this something that I really want to do? Then why is it that I don't want to do it? Is it because we've lost the spunk, and then how do we put that back in? Or is it just that, no, this is kind of my norm. Now we're back to the core. Or is this my core person that really only needs sex once a week?
Mm-hmm.
So we build on everything. The book is set up the same way the curriculum is set up. It's to build on each thing. So the appetite is really important to start off with. And then we talk about things like kissing in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And so obviously that one is about different places that you have sexual relations of some sort. So whether it is in the kitchen, in the laundry room, in the back closet somewhere, that you change it up. You know,
I need to talk to your parents, because you're talking like this now. I can't imagine what you were talking before. If you say in the closet, in the kitchen, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got into a good bit of trouble with the conversations. But like I said earlier, I'm a nerd girl. And, yeah, I love those new T-shirts everybody's wearing, the sex geek thing, because that's me. I've always been a sex geek. My mom raised me to, if you wanted to know something, look it up. And obviously, I wasn't born in the days of Wikipedia. It was encyclopedias, and it was libraries and Dewey Decimal Systems. And so, yes, I was the one that knew where all the sexual education books was in the library. And I would sit and read everything. So that's how I started just talking to people about their sexuality, and I was always so free about it since about 13. I was very open about what I learned, what I read, and what I saw, and would just tell my peers, you know, and I took this profession, I took it, like, this was my job to do. It was my calling. I didn't know anything else. You know, I guess I'm one of the poster childs for sex education, because it didn't make me have sex at all. I still waited. I postponed it for a while, well out of high school.
I still know that my father would have had a fit if I was coming home with all of these sexual books at the age of 13. I'm sure he would have had me locked away in a tower, never mind Rapunzel.
Yeah, it wasn't the easiest thing to explain away, but, you know, I kind of got away with it, and I would, you know, just try to get one at a time and bring them home, or I wouldn't bring them home. I would just sit in the library and read them, and then when Mom would come and meet me at the library, then I'd put them all away and, you know, check out something else. I'd check out Encyclopedia Brown.
I was a Nancy Drew mystery kid myself, so.
Oh, yes,
I didn't
get that yet. But, and I'm still a mystery girl, because I love my CSIs and my otters and all that. But, yeah, so that, you know, that was me, and that's how I started. And I started two peer ministry groups as a young teenager. And
you sound a little muffled. Come back close to us again.
Huh?
There you are. You sounded a little muffled. I don't want our callers to miss anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's where I learned how to really educate people about themselves and about their sexuality. We had two peer ministry groups that started, one in my church and one in my all-girls Catholic high school. and that's where we talked about sex and sexuality, but I just felt like I needed to. I can remember talking to, I was in the 10th grade, and I was talking to this 7th grader, and she was talking about having oral favors with a 30-year-old.
Wow.
And I couldn't understand. I'm like, what do you mean you're doing this? One, why are you with someone that old? Two, where are your parents? Like, you know, here I am at all of, you know, 15, 16. Where are your parents?
Right.
But that's how much my mom and dad had instilled in me. It's like, I truly was all about the education of it. Mm-hmm. It was not about doing it. And I was like, why are you doing this? And it was, I guess, I took her under my wing to just tell her, like, you have more self-respect than this, and you really should not kind of get into this kind of stuff yet. You're too old. You're too young for it. And he's too old for this. And, you know, it's beautiful.
I think that's awesome.
That's where it started.
That's awesome. I do happen to really believe that people should start having those conversations at that age, between the ages of 13 and 16, because there are goody two shoe kids, and then there are the other kids who are just curious, who, you know, don't even know that they need to just know and then understand how precious they are and why they should wait and why they shouldn't, you know, have such an age gap like 16 and 30. But that's a whole other show. We'll get to that's a whole other show. we have a caller on the line, so I'm going to bring them in. And then we will continue on with Alphabet Gumbo, and I think we were only at B, so I'm scared. I don't, you know, what are we going to talk about next? We're definitely going to bring you back on, and we'll have the spicy show. We'll have the Bridal Tribe spicy show with the Alphabet Gumbo. But for now, I'm going to bring in caller. Your area code is 312. Your last four digits are 2994, and I'm bringing you in right now. You are on the air with Tribal Wisdom. Hello.
Hello, this is Felicia. Hello, ladies.
Hi, Felicia. How are you?
Good, ladies. I had to call in because I needed a copy of this book, okay? So I was like, I got to call in and ask a question. So at least I can get on the list to get a copy of the book. Okay, here's my question. I am enjoying this show. It is so needed. It's so necessary. Well, my question is, how do you get these, let me see what to call them, these ladies, these wives, who act like they holier than thou, and they do not want to talk about sex. They look at you like you have a third eye in the middle of your forehead when you bring up the word sex. And the husbands are saying, can you please talk about sex? Can you please take her to Victoria's Secret? Take her somewhere. Can she get a new bra, a new pair of panties, something? And they don't want to talk about it. So how do you get the church ladies to talk about sex? Because they do not want to talk about it at all. Like, this is a lady here in Chicago, and her company is called Sex Fiend Ice Cream. And I bring her in and have her do stuff, and they act like it's a crime. I'm like, it's ice cream, ladies. It's just something to add some spice to your boring life. So, question. I'm sorry.
No, no problem. Well, that's a very good question. And let me tell you where I get my inspiration from. One of the ladies, I went through graduate school by selling sex toys. I was a fantasy lady. And okay. One of the ladies I used to work with in New Orleans, she owns a shop still today. I think she's on Facebook as Evelyn Sullivan.
Okay.
But I'll post it on my page when I can find her and make sure people can see it. But
okay. She,
her entire show based on the Bible.
Wow. Okay.
She talks about how, you know, it's meant for a man and woman to be together, and we're supposed to please our man, and we're supposed to serve him. And she would then display the toys on how you can serve them better and how you can.
I know that's better. Right.
I would have fell on the floor. I'm telling you right now. I would have been like, I don't mean to interrupt. I'm going to go back to being quiet, but I'm letting you know now that I fell on the floor and laughed so hard, they would have just kicked me out.
That's where I get my inspiration from. So every time I need, a really good quote, or if I need a verse, I'll call. I'm like, hey, Evelyn, First Lady, I need you to send me that verse and remind me where
okay.
it is. You know, and so that's a really good way to do it. Find those verses that allow for us to do what we're supposed to do as Christian wives. We are supposed to enjoy sexuality.
Amen.
You know, if for nothing else, God had a plan, then he gave us a clitoris.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
let's
understand this and help them understand it. Help them understand it from a more clinical perspective as well as a biblical perspective, that, you know, we are meant to be our husband's playground and they ours. And so that's the best way to kind of go about it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
it. And you may want to stay tuned, because I think the next ebook that I have coming, or the first ebook that I have, because this one wasn't on an ebook, it will speak directly to that. I don't want to
Amen.
I don't want to give
it
away yet, but yeah, look for it within
Amen.
The next maybe 3 months.
Amen. I'm going to stay tuned for that. Jesus.
Felicia, make sure you send me your information, your address and everything, so I'll get it over to Ike to, because you did win the book, by the way.
Yay!
So make
and
sure
if someone is online and wants to purchase the book, it is on, you can get it directly from my website. Go to alovedlifestyle.com/alphabet-gumbo, and it'll pop right up. You can buy it right online, and I'll ship it straight to you.
Great. I'm going to go ahead and post that too. I'll find it on your website and make sure that I post it in the event, because I'm sure that and Felicia, you have to make sure that when you get it, you call in and tell us about it.
Oh, I will. I'm telling you, I'm going to share it with them. Like, y'all need to get this book. Y'all can stop being so uptight. Okay. So thank you so much, ladies. And I really enjoy I went to your website the other day, and I really enjoy it. So keep doing what you're doing, girl. You'll save somebody's marriage, Jesus. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Enjoy. Bye-bye. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yay, we did have a winner. Miss Felicia Houston called in and received a copy of the book, which is Alphabet Gumbo, Spice Up Your Sex Pot. I love it. This is going to have to be a separate show. Maybe like every 6 to 8 weeks or so, we'll bring you on and do something spicy for the shy wives that Felicia was telling us about, because even if they don't call in, they might at least listen in. And without feeling exposed.
That's right. And that's what we're going to build to do, too, is either we're going to do a blog talk show or either do call-in webinars. But that's what we really found with the sexuality piece, is people do want to remain private, and we do understand that, and we respect that. And that's one of the reasons why we want to build the community the way we are, so we can have more things like that and more. You can, hear what you want to hear, get the information that you want to get from us and from the community, but do it in the privacy of your home.
Yes. Okay. Now, I'm going to say this because, as always, we always go over our hour. We got 3 minutes left. Can you believe we only have 3 minutes left on the show? Which I'm sure we're going to go
fast.
Over. That was fast, and it always goes fast. And it's always amazing, because usually my guests, we try to speak before the show, and I say, the show's an hour, and they go, I don't know if we can do it. And I'm like, trust me, that hour is going to fly by, and then you're going to have even excess to talk about by the last 2 minutes, and you're not going to want to get off, which is the case, because I still have a couple more questions.
Okay.
But for those of you who are listening via the internet on the computer, if you don't want to miss the rest of the conversation, you have to call in and listen via phone, because if you're listening by computer, you will not hear it. You will get cut off. So if you want to hear it, 347-996-3160, just to listen in. And you'll hear the rest of the show. If you don't get a chance to call in before the time lapses, you can always listen to the archive shows, which I will be posting later on this evening. But let's get into Joygasms. Is that some of the classes that have to do with the book? And gosh, we only got to B, but we don't want to get through the whole book. But what are some of the main topics in the book? And then let's talk about Joygasms.
So what did we go through in the book? We went through appetite. We went through kissing in the kitchen.
Yes.
We talk also about how to use different additives in your sex life, so toys, or even the responsible use of alcohol. So if you would like to try something new, sometimes it's a little bit better if you have a cocktail. So that way you can loosen yourself up a little bit, make yourself more relaxed. It is your husband or wife, so that means you are already in a responsible setting. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about being taken advantage of. It just really does loosen you up a little bit. So there's two wonderful recipes in here for nice, light cocktails. Nothing intense, nothing too strong. The one is one that I made, and it's the Pineapple Partner Upside Down Martini.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was something I found off of one of the websites, and it's Tap That Aid. And that one's, both of them are really good.
See, I'm over here giggling and blushing, and I'm not even reading the book yet. I'm just.
And then one of our chapters is about Joygasms, so our sister company's name. And basically, what a Joygasm is it is the feeling after having a really good session with your lover, after making each other feel awesome, that next day when you're kind of at your computer typing away and all of a sudden you feel a little run up your thigh and you just
think about it. It rushes all the way up to your head, and you're like, woo.
No, wait, now, you're getting muffled again. You can't get muffled on this part now.
That's a joygasm, that feeling that rushes through you mm-hmm. after the night after, the day after, to the week after, when you're like, oh, yeah, I did that, or he did that, and that was good. That's a joygasm, that feeling. And so the premise is that a really good, great relationship, especially one infused with really good sex, you have joygasms. The joygasms is what makes your relationship so healthy and wonderful, because when you're away from each other, you still need to feel that person. And that is it. That's that intense feeling of that person. The ultimate, you know, time when the two of you become one, you can take that with you. Oh, my God, yes, that's what I want in my marriage. You know, so that's what a joygasm is, and it talks about that, too, in the book.
All right, y'all. Y'all heard her when she said the joygasm is it pulls you back to that moment when you are worshiping your spouse.
That's it.
I love it. And okay, so there's a portion in the book for joygasms. There's a couple of ingredients for you to mix some nice, light, non-intensive drinks for one another.
Mm-hmm.
What else can we expect to find?
Ooh, let's see. I'm gonna tell the whole book. Let's see.
No, you don't want. You don't have to tell the whole book, because I'm looking on your site now for it so that I can post the link.
Do you see it? It's lovelifestyle.com/alphabet-gumbo.
Okay.
Let me do this.
Right. You know what? Yeah. If you have it, just post it right in the event.
That's what I'll do.
Yay.
That's what I'll do. It also, while I'm typing that, it also talks about being X-rated with your partner, not censoring yourself on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. If you're the type that, you know, you go to sleep with the full cotton pajamas, and I mean guy or girl, I don't mean just for the girls. So sometimes guys walk around with those flannel PJ pants and think that they're cute, and it's not. You know, that's not sexy. Not every night. I'm gonna need you to find something a little silkier and a little less.
Okay. So then my question is, during some of the marital counseling, I don't want to call it counseling because it's mostly workshops. During your workshops, is that a topic that comes up about how you should be sexy for your mate, like some of the things that you could do? Do you ask them what makes them feel sexy? I mean, do they have these kind of conversations within the workshops?
Oh, gosh, yes. Now, we do personal coaching and counseling. So we do interpersonal counseling for mm-hmm. sex coaching mm-hmm. With our married couples. But in the workshop, in the premarital workshop, of course we talk about sexuality. We talk about, you know, presenting different topics that you may not have spoken about before, understanding what it means to define your marital bed, understanding what it means to redefine it. So once you get into the newness, once you get out of the newness and you really start feeling the kind of monotony of the day, how do you redefine it? Where do you go? We have a wonderful partnership with one of the adult stores here in Houston. It is like the Bloomies of adult stores in Houston. It is so wonderful. It's called Eros 1207, and it's well lit. They have very informative clerks there and staff there that will help you and walk you through things that is in a very educational way. It's not sleazy. It's not dirty. And so it allows you to go in as a couple and learn together and grow together with your sexuality.
Oh, boy. You're going to make me put together a nice little New York meetup. We're going to end up going to a toy shop just for the married couples.
Oh, gosh, yes. We have to take a field trip, because we do field trips here in Houston. We'll have to take a field trip to the toy shops in New York and the sex museum in New York, because that is a wonderful place to go to. If you've never been, go.
I've definitely gone. We've actually put together meetups for that in a singles group that I'm a part of, and we all did visit, and it was very informative. It's not at all what people would just, you know, think it was. It's definitely not dirty. It's informative,
right,
as you said. And I think I should put together a meetup with some couples who are willing to go. If not, we'll just keep it private and go to, like, you know, have a different kind of event. I'm going to put together some events, but we'll talk about that.
Well, it's funny you said singles, because one of the other things that's in Alphabet Gumbo is what I call side items for singles. And what that does is it helps the singles and direct them in how to still be sexy, but kind of keep it a little bit low-key while you're trying to date on purpose. Because the whole point of a love lifestyle and joygasms is for you to have a really good, committed relationship, leading into marriage if that's what you want, but to stay and understand each other in a closed relationship versus, you know, kind of dating and being out there and kind of going with the flow of things. So the way we talk to the singles is about dating on purpose but still being sexy. What things you can do, what ways to avoid certain things that we may suggest for the married couples, how can you kind of avoid it but still get the essence of it? So
I was going to say, I do have a question, because in talking with some of my married friends, I find that they experience, especially ones who had children and they think that, you know, their weight is higher now, they have an issue with their weight. There are others who are actually coming off of being sick, you know, are like coming or getting over a disease, whether it be cancer, whether it be something else. Do you have a workshop for women who don't feel sexy anymore for whatever reason, and it is affecting their love life with their husband? What are some of the things that you can talk to some of these women about when it comes to, like I said, issues with weight, issues with, you know, getting over disease or just stress or depression? What are some of the things that you can say to some of these women?
Okay, without giving too much, let me tell you, we do have a workshop that speaks exactly to that. It's called sex esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the normal, let's get your self-esteem up, let's make you pretty, let's do a makeover, blah, blah. It's not that. It's sex esteem. It's getting to who you are as the sexy beast that we are created to be. And when I tell you this is men or women, it doesn't have a gender when it comes down to sex esteem. There are a lot of men that are self-conscious about their size, whether it's weight, whether it's their penis size, they are uncomfortable about this whole sexy thing. So we do sex esteem with both men and women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of our big key things is finding your primal person. Okay?
Oh, boy.
That means ripping everything, ripping yourself down to the core and finding that little, if we can say, harm toad of a teenager you were when you didn't think that the world cared about you and all you cared about was sex on the brain kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Find that person again and let's figure out the traits that was in that person and let's put them back in you. What made you that sexy beast? What makes you the person that you want to be when it comes to controlling your sex life and just controlling how you feel about yourself sexually? Because that's a huge thing. Then we kind of go into the sexual education of it, because a lot of it is because people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the literal term ignorance, you're sex ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that, you know, guys are growers or showers. We don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And when I mean growers or showers, you know, you have showers, meaning that if a guy's flaccid and they're longer, that's a shower. But then you have a grower, when they're flaccid, they're shorter, but when they become erect, they actually grow. And that means you don't have to worry. The guy that, you know, is shorter, flaccid, he shouldn't have to worry about his presence sexually, because it will grow, and he doesn't have to worry about looking to the left or the right when he's at a urinal. You know, all those things. We talk to the roots of this. We bring it back to me being that 13-year-old kid reading everything and give them that stuff that I read then and give it to them now.
Wow. I love it. I love it. Of course, I mean, we don't have to talk about it now because, you know, you're going to have to come back on the show, but
I'd like love to. Actually, I'd love to.
But just listening to some of them talk, you know, sometimes it's about self-esteem, sometimes it's about weight, and sometimes it's just, you know, they're raising children, they have the 9-to-5 going on, or they're just trying to become an entrepreneur, all kinds of things that are affecting the way that they feel about themselves or just affecting their levels of energy. So do you happen to talk about maybe eating habits and things that they could do in the book as well or in your workshops?
Yes, I do. Actually, I just flipped past that part, and we talk about what you eat and how what you eat comes out, whether it comes out in your pores or other excretory fluids,
right?
Because that does change with how you eat. And we talk about how different foods will make you feel, how doing exercises will make you feel a little bit more sexy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we do a lot. I mean, we literally incorporate a total interdisciplinary approach to your sexual health, to your sexual and relationship health. And that's the field that I come from. I am an educator, a health educator by trade, by practice. This is what I went to school to do. And so everything that I think of, even when we're trying to do something, because people think that, oh, I got the sex thing handled. No, you have the mechanics of the camp. Yes, you know how to insert. Yes, woohoo for you. You learned, you figured that one out. But the science of it, the emotional and mental journey of sexuality is what we kind of forget.
I love that you said that. We don't tap into it. Yes, I don't think that people really understand sometimes that it is an emotional journey. You know, when we're growing up, we're told to kind of stay away from it, keep away from it, you know, depending on the type of parents that you have, because according to you, Ike, you know, you were just all in it. So, I mean, you were all in the books. And you were bringing books home to your parents. So, that, I mean, that's one thing. But for some of us who had very overprotective parents, you know, you get a certain outlook about what sex is about, and you're told to kind of be afraid of it, to stay away from it, and then all of a sudden they're pushing you to get married and have kids. And there isn't a community that's sitting down and talking to you and saying, no, let's explain, let's talk about your body, let's talk about how much pleasure your body is supposed to give you, how it really is, deals with your mind as well as your body. And some of the questions, you know, how you should be able to have conversations with your spouse about your sexuality. You already talked about that you talk about appetites as one of the first chapters in your book, where you have to ask each other, you know, are you a once-a-week kind of person? Are you a three-times-a-week kind of person? It's nice to get that conversation in, but do they also talk about what do you understand about the mechanics of a female body or the mechanics of the male body? That's something that you also talk about within your workshops. Is that correct?
Oh, gosh, yes. We do, like, a sex ed 101 class. Matter of fact, I taught a sex ed for adults here in Houston in one of our it's called leisure learning. So it gives you, as an adult, it gives you extra learning education classes that you can take. And I taught it for the Houston area. And, of course, we took, you know, I had four guys in the class.
The class
was consisted of four guys. There were no girls at all.
Wow.
No females.
Nice.
And they were mouth open, drinking up everything because they had no clue. We had to do very basics. Let's name all of the parts in the pelvis of the male and female. And when I tell you, they probably got maybe two or three right on their own. And that's what we're marrying. That's who we're marrying.
Wow.
We are truly marrying each other as very sexually ignorant people. So to get that type of education, to get that on a very matter-of-fact, professional, cerebral level, I mean, this is nothing stinky, slutty, dirty about this. This is us.
Right. This is love. This is marriage, right? And you should be able to be.
This is us.
Yeah.
We need to hear it. We need to have it in a very safe environment. We need to have these conversations. And we need to feel good about having the conversations. It shouldn't be a problem. We shouldn't, you know, have to sneak off behind, you know, in somebody's garage, cooped up with the toy lady, just barely, you know, barely getting our orders done. This is who we are. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to talk about this. We're supposed to support each other in this.
Yes, yes. I have a friend who always says, you know, when Genesis says to be naked and unashamed, they weren't just talking about the body.
That's right. That's right.
You know, really supposed to, as husband and wife, be naked and unashamed in all areas, mentally, physically, and spiritually, because you are the ones that really replenish your energies and your purpose before that you head back out into the world.
That's right. That's right.
I love it. I love it.
Truly
it. I love it. Love it. Okay. We are already an hour and a half in, if you can believe it.
We've been going at it. We've definitely been going at it.
I mean, I have totally enjoyed the show, tonight's show, and based on the callers that we have on the line, I'm sure that they enjoyed the show too. Again, we definitely have to have you come back again. I want to make the announcement once for those who weren't on the show earlier, who weren't listening earlier, that Aiki will be a contributor to Bridal Tribe magazine. So she will be writing articles about her book. She'll be writing articles about her workshops. We'll be letting you know where you can find her. I have posted her website and her Facebook page in the event that some of you are currently in. I will also be posting them on the profile page, the Bridal Tribe profile page, if you're interested. I'm sure that you are. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you again for being on the show. You've made my week.
Yay, thank you. Thank you so much. Week. Maybe you can have platonic joygasms about tonight. How about that?
I think so. I'm going to be thinking back tomorrow. I'm like, I had a good time.
That's what we want. We definitely want. I like to, you know, spread joy and I really enjoyed you, you know, asking me to be on this show. I'm very humbled by it, and I appreciate the time you've taken out to talk with me about the book, about my mission and my purpose in life. So I can't wait to see all of your listeners on our page and on our fan page and everything else and to interact with us. I'm ready.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I guess I'll talk to you later. We have to put together like a little Twitter session or something. We'll have a nice little Gasm Twitter party, and we'll have the listeners come in, that those who don't have access to Facebook, because I found out recently there's plenty of people that, you know, don't come on Facebook, but they are on Twitter. We will put something together from the show, or at least some of the principles that she was sharing on Twitter.
We'll do a tweet meet.
Yay, we'll do a tweet up. Nice, a very nice tweet up. And then hopefully we will discuss more about the dominant or the personalities that we talked about. You know what? We'll leave that for the article in the magazine.
Yes.
And let them take a test in the magazine. That'll be great. And for those of you who did not know, Bridal Tribe magazine premiere issue will be launching this week. Thank you, Jesus. It was a labor of love, and it's finally complete.
Congratulations. We love it. We can't wait to see it.
Yay. And again, I hope all of you enjoyed the show. I'm going to say goodnight to Ike, right? In fact, I'm going to put you on hold. I really, really enjoyed the show. I hope you guys did too. If you have any questions that you want to ask, please go ahead, post them on Facebook. She's right there for you. Go to her page, interact with her there. And I hope that you are enjoying this show. Let us know what you think about this show, and let us know some other topics that you want to hear about, things that you want to talk about, because we are Bridal Tribe, and we are dedicated to love. Thank you, guys, and good night.